Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib that includes 14 things, 7 ordered and 7 prohibited us from doing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will not have time to go through them all because they are irrelevant to our topic, which is dealing with clothes and what to wear and what not to wear. So the thing that matters to us is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forbade us from wearing gold rings and forbade us from a number of things that he sallallahu alayhi wasalam quoted. So he said that we should not wear gold rings, we should not drink in silver. We covered the drinking bit in the golden and silver utensils. And we should not use al-mayathir wal-qusi and wearing of silk, al-istabraq and al-dibaj. All of these 5 things mentioned, they are types of wear or clothes that you either sit on, as in al-mayathir, where it is something comfy that you sit on when you ride your car or you ride your ride camel or whatever. And also al-qusi and the wearing of silk, istabraq and dibaj, they are different types of silk and different names of silk, whether they are hard or soft, whether they are stiff or plain. All of these are totally prohibited in Islam. So we will not discuss the issue of silk again. Now this hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib and the other hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar in regards of wearing gold rings. The Prophet ﷺ used to wear a golden ring. But then this ruling was what? Abrogated, because he took it off and he threw it and cast it away. And immediately the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, not seeing this and saying, maybe it's only for him. Maybe it is disliked, makruh, not haram. Maybe. No, immediately all of them took it off and they threw it, not using it or wearing it anymore. And the Prophet justified this, alayhi salatu wasalam, by saying that I used to do this. I used to have the stone to the inside of my palm, but then by Allah, I will never wear it again. So this was abrogated. Before it was halal. Now we know that wearing gold for men is prohibited. What about wearing silver? There is nothing wrong for men to wear silver rings, because the Prophet ﷺ took a ring of silver and he died. Then the ring went to Abu Bakr, who wore it until he died. Then to Umar, who wore it until he died. Then to Uthman, who lost it. It fell in a well. So this is permissible for a man to wear. What about rings? Is it sunnah to wear a ring or not? Scholars differ. Some say it's a sunnah because the Prophet did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Others say that the Prophet did not instruct us, did not recommend us to wear rings. And not only that, why did the Prophet wear a ring? The ring that the Prophet wore, alayhi salatu wasalam, was a seal. And he took it when the companions told him that whenever you want to correspond and write letters to the kings and to the rulers of other countries, they will not look at your letter unless it is sealed. So the Prophet took a ring and he had that engraving on it to be a seal as Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. But because the lines 1, 2, 3 for 3 words, he did not have Muhammad in top and the name of Allah on the bottom. So he had it the other way around. Allah, Rasul, Muhammad, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal always comes on top, even in such order when you're having the seal. And scholars say that this is not part of the sunnah. It is something that the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, as a necessity, something he needed. And also everything else that comes follows the same concept, meaning wearing the turban or covering the head for men. We spoke about this before, and we said that this has nothing to do with the sunnah. And brothers quote, the Prophet went into Mecca, he was wearing a black turban. The Prophet, ya akhi, the Prophet ﷺ wore different types of turban. We have no problem with that. He wore turbans, and he weighs trappers, and he rode on a mule, and he used to eat sitting on the floor, and he used to eat with his hands. All of these, are they recommendable sunnah? Meaning that if you do them, Allah would reward you for that. The scholars say, the most authentic opinion is that no, this is part of the customs and traditions of the people. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, whenever he used to travel, he used to dismount his ride and pretend that he's urinating in a specific area and then moves on. And does not urinate, but he pretends as if he's urinating. And his companions ask him, why are you doing this? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ once urinated here. So is he rewarded for what he's doing? Are we supposed to do this whenever we come to the same spot because it's a sunnah? No, this is something that is natural. And there is a difference between the beard, for example. The Prophet ordered, then this, alayhi salam, is a sunnah, definitely. Not only that, it's mandatory. But nowhere we find that the Prophet says, whenever you come to the masjid to pray, take a handkerchief and put it on your head and tie it in a way so that you pray with your head covered, and when you go, take it off. Or put a head cap in your pocket. Or even worse, in some masjids in Turkey, you find caps there when you enter, immediately people give you. What is this? You have to. And after the salah, you find prayer beads, subha. Hundreds, and then people just have to use it. All of these are innovations. They're not part of Islam. You have to know what Allah ordered you, what Allah will reward you for, and what is something that is custom. Now, what is left to say is, if someone does it, because the Prophet did it, would he be rewarded or not? It's an issue of dispute. Meaning, if I rode a mule to work, would I be rewarded or not? This is an issue of dispute. I believe that you will not. Because it has nothing to do with Islam or religion. Not because the Prophet did it, that you should do it. He didn't recommend it. He didn't ask us to do it. So it becomes like sneezing in a particular place, or urinating in a particular place, or doing this or that, which the Prophet did not tell us or instruct us to do. We have one more hadith, and then we will open the floor for Q&As. Yes, Akhi.
Narrated, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade wearing of silk except as much as this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approximated his two fingers, index and the middle fingers, to illustrate that to us. In another narration for Book of Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade wearing of silk except if it is 2, 3, or 4 fingers wide.
Okay, this hadith, already we've discussed it and we've stated what is permissible to wear of silk, and also to those who are sick or they have the need to wear silk, the Prophet ﷺ permitted Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Zubair ibn al-Awwam to wear silk in battle. Not to show off, but because they had this itching or an illness that required them to wear something that was soft. Opening the floor for Q&As. Yes, brother, at the end.
Sheikh, is there any clear-cut hadith where it is prohibited that we should not wear red color?
Is there any clear-cut hadith? Yes, there are. That the Prophet ﷺ forbade wearing certain types of clothes that are red. But again, we have to look at a number of different hadiths. And this is the role of a faqih, a person who studies the hadith. See, sometimes people think that you have to abide by the dalil, take the evidence. That's good. You have to. But if you're not qualified, then you have a problem. If you take the dalil without being able to understand it, and you said, no, I'll take the dalil and that is it. This is a big problem. And that is why we tell our brothers, it is wrong to encourage people only to follow the dalil without following the understanding. So no, you have to follow the Quran and Sunnah. That is all. And what about the hard work of the scholars who interpret this? No. Everything is enough for us in the Quran and Sunnah. And I say you are delusional. Without knowing what the scholars say, you cannot understand. Therefore, it is extremely important not to take things lightly. And also, I know that people would attack me afterwards and say, oh, Sheikh is telling people not to follow the Quran and Sunnah. And this is stupid, with all due respect. What we're studying is the Quran and the Sunnah, but with the understanding of the favorite generations, the generation of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een, and those who followed them. Not with me interpreting what I like, and I think, oh, this is Quran and Sunnah. No, you have to go through proper channels and study it through the scholars of the deen, not blindly following anyone, but if you're not qualified, you have to follow someone. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.